Good morning, Mount Olivet Baptist Church. Our text for preaching today comes from Psalm 4. That is Psalm 4. And it reads, "Answer me when I call you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my stress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when there grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." I want to share from the subject, don't let stress take you out. Don't let stress take you out. Growing up in New Jersey, my mother would always take us on a trip to her hometown of Lewisburg, North Carolina. Those of you who have traveled anywhere of great distance heard the same words that my mother heard on that trip. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Let you know that there was some anxiety and some desire to get to grandma's house in North Carolina. Now that I'm older, I realize that even well-planned trips can be delayed by things that are out of our control. Going on vacations, whether you are going by plane, train, bus, you realize to a degree you are not in control. Already that can raise the stress level. And do not let there be a delay. It really is a stressful and helpless place to be in. I've been on trips where my plane has been delayed. I've been delayed in small airports where there was nothing but a few places to buy drinks, candy, or chips. Then there was a time when I was delayed in the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta. They have what can only be compared to a full-blown mall. Named stores and named restaurants, you name it, it was there. You would assume that this airport would be a pretty good place to be delayed, to be imprisoned. But when our flights are delayed an hour, even with all of these conveniences, we see it as a huge inconvenience. Imagine if you were trapped for an entire day or week or months. I think this is a good picture of what it is to be locked in a cage, unable to experience true freedom. When we deal with cages or cage-like experiences like this all the time, not necessarily in a physical sense, but a spiritual sense, there are experiences that we get stuck in, and sometimes we don't even know it at first glance. It's like an airport. An airport seems like a normal environment at first. It's not threatening or scary. There are a lot of people there with us, so we believe it to be completely normal. The situations that we get trapped in are just like that. They're situations that seem inevitable. They're situations that seem customary and totally normal. We say everybody has these issues. Everybody deals with these same problems, and we write our situations off as if there isn't a better way to live. However, my brothers and sisters, there are certain situations that are deliberately designed and created by the devil himself. And he deliberately designs these situations because the devil knows if I can get you stuck in a cage or a certain cage-like situation, then I can prevent you from experiencing true freedom in Christ. The devil knows if I can make that happen in your life, then you are going to take or have a mediocre relationship with the Lord, and your life will never truly be maximized for the kingdom of God. That's the devil's goal for your life today. But do you know what God wants? God wants to show us how to escape these cages, these situations that hold us back, those situations that stress us out. And then he wants to teach us how to live a life maximized for him. This morning, I want us to look at something many of us are familiar with, and that is stress. There are actually many forms of stress. There's a type of stress that is fun and exciting for some, like jumping out of an airplane or riding a roller coaster. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to jump out of a perfectly functioning airplane. However, I do get excited about riding a roller coaster, and I can't wait as the roller coaster gets ready to go over the hill and go down. That does create a fun kind of stress. But then there's acute stress, a short-term stress that can either be positive or more distressing, a temporary stress that we experience like road rage. You know how you feel when someone cuts you off. Then there's chronic stress, the type of stress that seems never ending and inescapable, lifestyle stress that we live in, a stress that imprisons us and causes us to stress, whether it be emotional, physical, or even spiritual. However, in Psalm 4 and 1, David said, "Answer me when I call, God, who vindicates me. You freed me from my affliction. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." This was David crying out to God. He was crying out in distress, begging God to free him from this pressure he was feeling. J. Vernon McGee says, "Distress indicates pressure. And the truth is, the pressures of this life are great. They were great in David's day. They continue to be great in our day. And the truth is, we need the encouragement of the Lord." The psalmist writes in Psalm 50 and 15, "Call on me in a day of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me." He says in Psalm 18 and 6, David gets even more personal in his plea. He says, "I called to the Lord in my distress and I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice and my cry to him reached his ears." He reminds us here that when we are overwhelmed by the pressures of life, when we cry out to God, he hears us. He says it again in Psalm 145, 18. The psalmist says, "The Lord is near all who call out to him, all who call out to him with integrity." Understand, he said, when we cry out to God in distress, when we're overwhelmed by the pressures of this world, when that happens, the Bible says God presses into us. He, meaning God, draws near to us. David experienced stress just like you and I do. Stress isn't something new, but it seems like we have more things to cause us stress today than ever before. I don't think any of us thought we would be dealing with what we're dealing with right now on top of what we have already been dealing with. But just think, in the 60s, there was a thought that technology would reduce our work weeks to 22 hours. But technology hasn't really slowed us down much. We live in a fast-paced, tense, uptight, progressive world that doesn't really slow down for any reason. And when it all comes down to it, it's stressful to maintain that kind of momentum. There was a story carried in a newspaper in Tacoma, Washington, about a basset hound named Tattoo. The article said that Tattoo didn't intend to go for an evening run. But when his owner shut his leash in the car door and took off for a drive with Tattoo still outside the vehicle, he had no choice. A motorcycle officer noticed a passing vehicle with something dragging behind it. He commented in the article, "That poor basset hound was picking them up and putting them down as fast as he could." He pulled the man over and the dog was rescued, but not before the car reached a top speed of 25 miles per hour, causing Tattoo to fall down and roll over several times. However, I think it's sad that so many of us can relate to that dog, where we're picking them up and putting them down as fast as we can, but in the meantime, we feel like we're being dragged through life. Stress is something that is very real in our world. It's something that seems normal. It seems inevitable. But what we sometimes fail to realize is that stress is also a cage that prevents us from having freedom in Christ. So then the question is for us this morning, will you let stress take you out? Will you let stress take you out? I'm going to give you a stress test. Do you feel overwhelmed and confused at times? Do you have difficulty sleeping? Do you find yourself worn out at the end of the day? Do you have increased digestive problems such as heartburn, constipation, and Lord have mercy, even diarrhea? Do you feel self-conscious or inadequate? Do you feel depressed and have had moments where you cry uncontrollably? When things don't go your way, do you get more aggressive? Do you get angry? Do you experience shakiness, trembling, or nervousness? Do you find yourself relying on food or substances to make you feel better or more at ease? Do you experience tension or tightness in the muscles of your neck, your back, or your jaw? Are you more prone to having arguments with co-workers, bosses, family members, and friends? Do all any of these things sound like you? If so, the experts offer some suggestions on how to handle the stress in your life. They would tell us to identify your triggers, know what sets you off. They would tell us to get a massage. When the body relaxes, it allows your mind to relax to a certain degree. They would recommend breathing exercises and aerobic exercises. They say develop a support network of people studies. Studies show that women do better at coping with emotional stress than men because of this one thing: stronger support networks. And all of these suggestions are very good and therapeutic, but they won't allow you to escape the situation or cage of stress. They just make the cage a little more comfortable. If we want to escape the cage of stress, we've got to learn what God's word tells us regarding how we can be proactive in eliminating stress from our lives. Psalm 121 says it, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains, to the hills. Where does my help come from?" Many times we will read the Psalms without ever really considering the context in which it was written. This particular psalm takes you on a journey with a pilgrim that chose to leave his troubles behind. He chose to abandon his burdens and leave them at home and travel very difficult roads, dangerous roads, all because he wanted to go to Jerusalem. He wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. Well, then you get to this verse from our message on last week, Psalm 121:1. "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" This verse gives us a picture of the pilgrim approaching the end of his journey. He was worn out and had endured persecution and exhaustion along the way. But now in the distance, he could see the hills of Jerusalem. He could see the destination in the distance. And he asked the question, "Where does my help come from?" But then look how he answered the question. Verse 2 says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and the maker of earth." This man had risked everything because he wanted to go to Jerusalem. But here he declared once and for all, his hope wasn't in the hills. His hope was in his help. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, I believe we get this wrong. We put our hope in something other than God. We put our hope in the hills. We get so focused on arriving at a place that we tend to forget our purpose. We say, if I could only arrive at this job or have this kind of relationship or make this kind of money or get this kind of opportunity, then everything will be all right. Then the stress in my life would disappear. But he's not only God, he's also our help. And listen to me, God doesn't want to suppress your stress. God wants to address your stress. And God's solution for addressing your stress comes by way of invitation. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In other words, you can just stay where you are. You just can't stay where you are and expect to experience relief in your life. You can't just keep doing what you're doing and expect different results. Jesus says, your solution to your stress is going to begin with a step of faith. He says, come to me. And what will the result be? Jesus will give you rest. When I think about what it is to be stressed out, I would have to say the opposite of stressed out is rested up. Stressed out people don't rest well. They don't sleep well. When you read the early Psalms of David, you discover real quickly that David had all the reason in the world to be stressed out. It's interesting that both Psalm 3 and 4 deal with the subject of lack of sleep. These Psalms were written when David was exiled because his own son, Absalom, had stolen the kingdom. I know it's hard to imagine stress within a family, right? But this wasn't just a family fight at Thanksgiving. The issues between these men were serious. Absalom wanted to kill his father. But not only Absalom, David says in Psalm 3 that tens of thousands of men were after him, and they were surrounding him with the intent to murder him. Psalm 3, 1 and 2 says, Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help for him in God. But here's the interesting thing to me. Psalm 3 was written in the morning, and Psalm 4 was written in the evening. And David, in the midst of the chaos, just two verses later, found time to take a nap. He said in Psalm 3, 5, and 6, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. But we see David in a crazy time with his life in danger, being hunted by an entire army of men. In Psalm 3, he's taking a cat nap. But now in Psalm 4, he's getting ready to go to bed. David realizes and reminds us that we serve a God that never slumbers and he never sleeps. Last week I said that he is on guard 24/7. So in my estimation, there's no sense of both of us staying up. So I might as well go to sleep. I realize for some reason when you lay down in the bed and it gets quiet, the stress in your life gets louder. If I'm on your street this morning, say, I know he's right. When you're stressed out and lay down at night, it's like you can't shut your brain off. You can't stop thinking about the chaos you're surrounded with. David had a choice to make that night. He could stay up and worry and fret and fear the worst, or he could believe the promises of God. He could choose to be imprisoned by the cage of stress, or he could choose God. He concluded in Psalm 4, verse number 8, I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, Lord, make me live in safety. David discovered God's remedy for stress. The remedy wasn't a massage or prescription medicine. The remedy wasn't breathing or aerobic exercises. And I'm not saying these things are bad. I just don't believe they are the remedy. God's remedy for stress is God himself. If we want to escape the cage of stress, we have to believe that God is capable of being God. If you're stressed out because of your circumstances, then you don't believe God is who he says he is. If you're losing sleep because life is too hectic and there are too many questions left unanswered in your world, then your faith isn't in Christ, it's in yourself. David asked of God. He believed in God, and then he received from God. And if you and I are willing to do the same, if we ask God, if we believe in God, and if we receive God, we can be just like David. We need to ask God to deliver us from the stress that we are feeling. Believe that God is capable of bringing you the rest he promises, and then trust that he will deliver you in his perfect timing. He offers a way out, even when it looks as if you'll be in that cage in prison forever. He gives you what you need in order to escape the stresses of life. He gives you what you need to not let stress take you out. You say, well, Pastor, I'm overwhelmed by the pressures of this world. I'm trapped in the cage of stress. What am I really supposed to do? You know how David answered that question? He said in Psalm 55 and 16, but I call to God and the Lord will save me. Do you need the Lord to save you? Do you need the Lord to heal you? Are you needing the Lord to release you from this cage of stress? Then call on the name of the Lord and he will answer you. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God bless you. I love you. Go in peace.